Where have I been? Where haven't I been? Hello. Seems like ages since I went live. Oh gosh. So I did a very long video this morning with Block TV News, which is on their channel. I think I'll post it to my channels later. I am fine, thank you. I hope everybody else is okay. And happy Easter, or whatever one says, and Chag Pesach Sameach. This is not beer. I'm not drinking beer. Everything's weird this year. Pesach alone with our alone just with my close family and people on Zoom was weird. But I barbecued with my enormous barbecue, an entire shoulder of lamb, huge, great piece of meat, slab of meat. Hi, Colleen. Yeah, and that was very successful. Bit of olive oil, lemon juice, strong mustard, and a ton of rosemary that comes from basically the street below, because rosemary grows like a weed in this neighborhood that I'm in. Put all of that in a bag, cut the lamb and inserted lots of cloves of garlic into the meat. Left it in the fridge for about 2 days in this bag of marinade. You didn't think you were going to be getting a lamb recipe. So that's the lemon juice, olive oil, rosemary, salt, pepper, and mustard. And then onto my barbecue. So first of all, get the barbecue really hot using coal, only coal. I don't like gas. And take the meat, once the barbecue is very, very hot, burning white, I took the meat and I put it with the major fat and skin side down, and pretty quickly it starts to flare up and you get basically a roaring fire. And then using the lid and the ventilation on the barbecue, I just control the fire, let it burn, you know, roast on sort of the naked flames for about 7-8 minutes. Turn it over, do the same on the other side. And then after that was done, just cover the lid, close the ventilation down and let it roast in the heat. And I had temperature thermometers, which check the temperature. Kind of messed up with those a little bit because they have little rubber color signs on them. Unfortunately, those got into direct flame and they burnt off, which was dumb, but they still work. Monitored the temperature. It took about an hour for my 2.5 kilos of shoulder to be done, which was quicker than I expected. I had to take it off, cover it, let it rest. And then we did the Seder. I kept it warm. And it was, when we got to it, absolutely delicious. Carved it. Hard to carve a shoulder, to be honest, but easy. You know, there was lots of good meat, lots of fatty bit, but that's, oh, great taste. So that was Seder. COVID-19, I better say something. I don't care, sorry. I'm drinking beer during during Pesach. COVID-19. Now my friend Andrew thinks that we have gone over the top in Israel on the curve flattening. We've obviously flattened the curve. We've obviously done amazingly well. I think a lot of it was to do with stopping people arriving in the country being infectious, and that we kept the infection down. Now, my wife thinks that I had COVID-19 earlier, before my son's bar mitzvah, actually earlier this year, when I felt lousy for a couple of days and came up with a bit of a cough. My son also was coughing for a while, but I'm not convinced. I don't think I've had it. But nevertheless, we've got obviously one of the lowest recorded case fatality rates in Israel. And our case fatality rate is skewed massively to old people, over 80s even. A few 50 and 60s and very few young victims here. And the trouble with flattening the curve too much is that it flattens it, and it means you're well below the peak of your healthcare. And we are, because we've got like 130 something people in intensive care, but we've got 4,000 intensive care beds. So we're nowhere near saturating our health system. And for this, we've just wrecked the economy. We've got millions unemployed suddenly when we, you know, we went from almost full employment here to almost full unemployment. It's insane. People with small businesses, it's a struggle to keep going if, you know, it is. And what we're going to end up doing is causing a lot of suicides and a lot of other collateral damage. So did we squash it too much? Now, on the flip side to that, we've got some communities where there's rampant spread. Obviously, the religious communities, which apparently are coming on board now, were very slow to take on board the idea that they needed to stop this thing spreading. And more than 50% of our patients in serious condition are from Orthodox, ultra-Orthodox families and neighborhoods. And that's terrible. That's going to, you know, there's a divide in Israeli society, not the Arab Jew thing you might think of from the outside, but there's a divide between the secular and the religious, because the secular believe that the religious are not putting their weight, they don't go to the army, all of that stuff. And the Haredim, by resisting the measures that the secular have largely taken on board. I mean, very, very largely. I mean, my neighborhood, I see very high complaints. I've just been out now. I had to go to the pharmacy, in fact, to buy some more masks because they've made masks compulsory. We actually had 10 surgical masks in the house, which were left over from almost 10 years ago when my second son was born, and I had flu. I actually had, I think it might have been the pig flu. And at the Bris, we bought these surgical masks, so I wore a surgical mask to my son's Bris. And so we had those in the cupboard, but I've just been out now to buy 50 more at a ridiculous price. So, I mean, you know, if anything was going to make me upset with China, and of course they're made in China, the idea that they give us this disease and then they start selling the products with which we have to protect ourselves or protect others. I mean, I'm in no illusions. I believe that mask wearing is a good thing societally. I obviously know that these surgical masks don't protect me. They protect everybody else from me. So, you know, as a society move, yeah, it's a good one. But we've got to open this place up soon. And the trouble is that we're in Passover right now, so we're under lockdown. We're not allowed out of our homes more than 100 meters, except to go shopping or if you work, have an essential job. It's crushing. We can't go out on day trips to nature, which is what we would normally do in this period of Passover, Pesach. The country would be busy. We'd all be on day trips and the beach and all of that stuff. We can't do any of it. It is getting to be oppressive, very oppressive. And I mean, I live in a comparatively nice place, but it's still not big by, certainly by American standards. It's a shoebox. But many people live in far worse conditions than I do, that's for sure. And this is. We gotta find a way to open this up now. I mean, all the technological solutions of tracking by phone and so forth, they scare me. I mean, I willingly submit, but I would, at the moment, but I would be very concerned with being compelled to submit. That I don't like. You know, I'm absolutely realistic that there is no vaccine on the horizon. We still have not got a vaccination for AIDS. It's a virus. Why not? SARS, MERS, none of these things have got the common cold. All of these things are similar to this SARS Corona 2. We haven't got vaccines for those. So I'm not a believer in the optimism that we'll have a vaccine. Now, there's lots of other therapeutic things. There's plasma from recovered people. There's some stem cell stuff that's very interesting that Israel has been pioneering. There's the hydrochloroquine. There's all of these different ways to therapeutically treat it. But it just depends on what this case fatality rate is going to be and at what ages. Now, if it does turn out to be the case fatality rate below 1% that we're seeing here in Israel, then perhaps we did overreact. I don't know. But the issue is that if we have a certain capacity of our health system, and that capacity is, you know, for Israel, 4,000 intensive care beds, the idea of flattening the curve is to flatten it below that, not to absolutely smash the living shit out of it so that we spend the next 9 years trying to make everybody immune whilst this curve is so flat that we don't even notice it, but we're all stuck in shoeboxes. That's the problem we're in. It's an unenviable problem for the leadership of the country, but I also don't like the ease and the way in which they've slipped into a totalitarian mindset. And, you know, they've closed all the play equipment for children in the local neighbourhoods. Is there any evidence that that is a vector of spread? If there is, show us. If there isn't, why have you closed? Why don't you allow six-year-olds to swing on the swings? I don't understand. If there's evidence, show us. If there isn't, open the parks and playgrounds. Now, if it's that you just can't trust their parents not to get too close to each other, I don't know what to say. I don't like this paternalistic, and I don't like this descent into tyrannical rule. They've been too quick, too easy. It's too easy to issue these edicts. We've given up all our freedoms. I mean, what rights do we have? Did we have? And they all just disappear. The lack of pushback, and then, you know, the only protest we've got going is a bunch of weirdos, 30 of them or something, standing in Kikar Rabin, protesting against 5G because it causes COVID-19. I mean, we don't even have 5G anywhere in Israel. There is not a single test deployment. There is no infrastructure for 5G yet. I know we will be way late with the bloody thing, like we are for everything. We were late with 4G, we were late with high definition television, we were late with 4K. Everything took 2-3 years further than the UK or America for this kind of stuff. And yet we've got idiots protesting about 5G. Why don't you protest about the ease with which Netanyahu just took away all our rights and there isn't even any pushback. I'm not saying that I want to push back, but I'm saying there needs to be a tension. Leaders need to feel that the public is not okay, that it takes absolutely extraordinary measures. These are extraordinary times, but that's kind of where I am with this. Anyway, the other video I did today, which was the long one, was about Steam, the blockchain, turning into Hive, the much more interesting blockchain, after an attempted takeover by what I think to be an agent of the Chinese Communist Party, which is a guy called Justin Sun and his Tron system. That's another video. I will link to it, and I will put it on my own 3Speak channel. Right now it's on Block TV News' 3Speak channel. 3Speak being the blockchain-based video system that I like the best. Anyway, this is Brian of London. I am on my balcony. There's Tel Aviv. On my balcony. In the glorious state of Israel. Under lockdown. And waiting to see if we actually have a government in the next day or two. Lots of interesting things. Oh, and very good news that Boris was released from hospital today. I was very pleased about that. And we shall see you the next time I go live. Thanks for watching, and stay well, everybody. I actually do, unfortunately, know people who've passed away in the UK, of my parents' generation, friends of theirs, and friends of my sister's parents of friends. It's real. It's very, very real. It's scary to a certain degree. So, yeah, stay safe, everybody. Social distance. See you all the next time. Bye-bye.